The truth of the matter is, if you were to attempt to disprove the existence of God, why, you'd have to go, you can't be everywhere. You'd have to go everywhere in the known universe and look under every rock, behind every tree, and see if he was there. And there might be, while you were there, he was somewhere else. The truth is, to prove there was no God, you would have to have one of the attributes of God, which is to be everywhere, to prove he ain't there, and then you'd be God. The truth is, we already know who God is, and he is an everywhere, all-powerful. And I like what the old spirituals, you say, he's even an on-time God. I don't know if y'all have ever heard that old Negro song, but what a blessing it is when you hear it. Let's read this verse together. Easy to find, first one in your Bible. If you're still looking in the table of contents, please stop. Let's read the verse together. In the beginning, I want you to read it out loud with me. Let's do it together. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's read it again. One more time. In the beginning, God created the heaven. What a blessing it is. Let's pray. Lord, thank you today for your word. Help us as we try and share a few thoughts this morning, Lord. Help me to get said what needs to be said. And honestly, Lord, I feel like we've already had church. These girls and their testimony and their singing have uplifted my spirit. And Lord, there's just something inside of me that your spirit touches through the lives of changed people. Young lives that have been turned around. And Lord, I feel so much about that. You know what I used to be. Thank you that it's under the blood. And Lord, I give you glory for it. And it's behind us all. We can move forward for you. But in these moments I want to tell these people a little bit about you. Help me to do that in a way that will bring glory to your name. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A number of years back, I don't know, goodness, been over 25 years ago, when we first started our federal prison ministry. The first time I ever made a trip over there, there was a fellow there. Some of you know him. He's pastoring now over in Blackshear, Brother Mark Summers. He was here in our church at the time. And I can remember he said, if you'll come out there, I'll help get you in so you can talk to the warden and get the prison ministry going. And I said, well, that sounds great, Brother Mark. I'll be glad to go. So we get out there, and we're standing in the big sally port there before you go into the main part of the prison. And he said, I want to tell you something before you go in. And for the next 5 minutes, as we were waiting on them to buzz us in, he told me all of the possible things that might go on behind bars should I be kidnapped and held as a hostage. I don't want to hear that when I'm sitting in the safety of my living room and leaning back in the recliner. I sure don't want to hear that just before I go in to a bunch of inmates that no doubt have killed preachers, taken advantage of them, and might have a boyfriend or two. I did not want to go in the middle of all this. So after he got through telling me all, I mean just literally told me everything that could possibly happen. Well, I was nervous the whole time I was in there. Making sure nobody's sitting behind me. You know, I mean, I'm being real careful about everything. I couldn't wait to get out of that place. Now, my point in telling you that is this. I probably needed to know a few things, but he told me everything. And this morning, there's no way I could tell you everything about God, but I'd like to tell you a few things. And I'm just going to give you four real quick about the nature of God. Last week, we talked about the necessity of God. We need him. And we talked about the need of man. We're all sinners, dirty, rotten, hell-deserving sinners. If we got our just deserts, we'd be in hell today. And we're thankful that God's grace reached down and saved us and lifted us up, like Psalm 40 said when David said, he lifted me up also out of a horrible pit. Now, some folks have been so moral in their life, they don't think they were ever in a horrible pit. But my friend, every person that ever gets saved is lifted up out of a horrible pit of sin. You might not realize it at the time, but mark this down. The older you get and the more you appreciate the grace of God, the more you see not how easy it was to save you, but how far God reached in saving you. Even if nobody else knows what you used to be, you know what you used to be, and so does God. Four things about the Lord this morning. I'll be real brief. Number one, about the nature of God. God is a unity. And what I mean by that is not that God got together. It's not a bunch of gods that got together in unity. What I mean by that is, just like he told Israel in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, for the Lord our God is one Lord." There are not multiple gods. We believe in monotheism. Mono is not just a disease you get. They call the kissing disease. Mono is a prefix, and it means one. So monotheistic means the belief in one God. We are not polytheistic. Theistic. And poly's not just a parrot that wants a cracker. Poly means many or multiple sides in polygons. You've heard the word poly before, I'm sure. But we are not polytheistic. We don't believe in many gods. Now, the Mormons believe in many gods. Different tribes that have been discovered back in the jungles, even though you might think they would be atheistic, not having ever come in contact with society. But every tribe and nation and people that's ever been discovered has a belief in some God, and most often many gods that they believe in. But the nature of our God, the God of the Bible, the God we just read about in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God is a unity. There is one God. I like to say it this way: beside whom there is none else. No one can hold a candle to God. No one is a God. Now, we speak of Satan as the God of this world, but when you read that in the Bible, you always see it's a little g. There are many little g's, little gods, if you would. Money's a God, sex is a God, education's a God, fame and popularity's a God. Things that people give their time, their attention, their wealth, their love. They even get addicted to these things. My goodness alive, alcohol and drugs and all kind of the sins that are out there in the world can become a god to the people of this world. It could get us. But there is one, if I could say it this way, big G God. And that is the God we read about, and you see it capitalized in your Bible. The Jehovah's Witnesses have taken their Bible, and in the book of John, they have changed what the Bible says. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word," John 1:1, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And every time it's a capital G. But the Jehovah's Witness, another false cult, has taken that and changed it to a little g and said it was a God. Well, then that makes for more than one. But remember, point number one this morning, when I tell you about God, can't tell you everything about Him, but I'll tell you a few things about Him. Number one, He is a unity. There is one God, and that God is the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Number two this morning, I would say this: God is a Trinity. What do you mean by that? Well, some people term it a tri-unity. That doesn't mean now that this one God has been split into three. No, the Bible describes God the Father as God. The Bible describes Jesus Christ as God, capital G, and the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost as God. There are not three gods. They are one God revealed to us, manifested to us, ministering to us, reaching out to us as Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Not Father and then morphs. I said this like the Father doesn't morph into the Son, and the Son morph or change or translate into the Spirit. No, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all exist eternally at the same time. Co-equal. Almighty God. I read the other day, my wife works at the credit union here in town, and a Jehovah's Witness lady came in there recently and left one of their Awake magazines. It's appropriately titled because that's what they need to do. They need to awake out of their spiritual sleep. But it's awake. In that magazine, that little 7 or 8 page magazine, I read in there and it said this: it would be wrong to refer to Jesus as Almighty God because He's not. I disagree. Why do you disagree, preacher? Because I have read my Bible. This is not Baptist doctrine or theology. It's not something invented by a preacher to make a sermon sound good. It is the truth of the written Word of God, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all God. He is a Trinity. I performed many baptisms. I wish I had done more. I can remember some of the first ones I did. I watched other preachers. I guess everybody does it different, Brother Steve. Different people say it differently or act differently. When I baptize, I usually lift up one hand and I say the formula that we read in Matthew 28. I baptize you in the name, not names. You ought to pay attention when you read your Bible. Name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I say that. I don't know how many times I've said that. And I just go through that process. I baptize you, my brother or my sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I'm not naming three gods. I'm naming one God, but He's a Trinity. It's important for us to understand that. Now, I know there are people who say, well, I don't understand that. Well, aren't you glad you don't have to understand everything about molecules and atoms in order to put a good T-bone steak together? Can I get an amen? And if you're going to have a steak, you got to have a baked potato. And we're going to put some butter all over that. Now, a few of y'all are crazy enough to put some sour cream and chives, whatever all that is. Just give me a baked potato. Pardon me, let me pronounce that correctly. Give me a baked tater. Some of you Yankees don't know what a tater is. But give me a baked tater with some butter on it, and I'm telling you right now, if I can have that, and I can add, I'd like a salad with it, and I want Thousand Island dressing. That's why I don't like, y'all, some of y'all don't know why I don't like Olive Garden. Because they ain't got Thousand Island dressing, Danny. I have threatened, if we ever, they got an unlimited salad. You can go there and get all the salads you want. It ain't no good if it ain't got Thousand Island dressing on it. Don't think I wouldn't take a bottle in there. Now they make it in them little squeeze packets so you can carry them in there, but I'm so afraid it'd bust inside my coat and then I couldn't explain that leakage. That'd be bad. I can't tell you everything about God, but I can tell you a few things. God's a unity. God's a Trinity. Number three, and this is important, God is a spirit. You might remember in John chapter 4, I'm going to read you these verses real quick. I'll be done. There's a Samaritan woman Jesus met. If you've never heard Sam Cooke sing about the woman at the well of Samaria, you need to go hear Sam Cooke. Some of y'all know the old singer. He sang a lot. You remember back in the day. Some of y'all weren't saved all your life. Some of y'all remember old Sam Cooke. You go back and hear Sam Cooke sing about the woman at the well. Y'all, you might just have them girls sing it. It is a great song about the woman from Samaria. But anyway, she gets saved, and in the process of Jesus talking to her, this is what he said in verse number 22. Ye worship, he said to her, ye know not what. We know what we worship for salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. In other words, He's not a tangible object like this piece of wood pulpit. We don't set up an image of gold or stone. We don't set up an image of metal or some other image of clay up here in front of us and us go and bow before it. The cross may be a symbol of Christianity, but we don't bow before it and believe that the actual molecules of the wood have any special power over us. We don't wear a chain around our neck thinking that this amulet of a cross that somehow we rub and it's like a rabbit's foot. Yes, Lord, if we win the lottery. Because some of y'all be done won it by now. Donate it to the church, I'm sure. Help the Marvelous Grace Girls Academy out with a few million. It's not some magic thing. These are not trinkets. Listen, I was reading just this morning, I was reading about a woman in New Mexico many years ago. She was fixing tortillas. As she's fixing tortillas, she flipped one over. And on that side where the burn marks was, she noticed it looked like the face of Jesus. She immediately pulled it off of there and stopped the cooking process, put it in a bag, got down to the priest as quick as she could. The priest and all of her neighbors and family members agreed that it looked just like it must be a miracle that God had sent His Son's face through the griddle onto the surface of a tortilla. And then the priest did his number on it and blessed it, became a holy relic for that community to worship before, and somehow if they could just touch the hem of the tortilla, they would be blessed. Is that not ridiculous? But some people every week go out and worship other tangible things. It's their car, it's their boat, it's their athletics, it's their bank account, it's some person, a boyfriend, girlfriend, somebody like that, and they fall, but they really literally worship them. God's a spirit, not an individual like us. The fourth and final thing that I'll give you this morning is God's a person. He's a unity, He's a Trinity, He's a spirit, but God is a person. It'd be a mistake for you to think He's just a force. It's interesting, isn't it, when Moses was sent to Egypt and the Lord sent him there to bring His people out, and when he was talking to the Lord about it at the burning bush, he said, well, Lord, are you telling me to go bring your people out? All right, if I go. But I know what's going to happen. I'm paraphrasing. He said, when I get down there, this is what the people are going to say. All the Jewish people are going to say this. Who sent you? Okay, you're here, Moses. Somebody met you at the burning bush. Somebody talked to you. Somebody sent you down here. Who was it? This is what the Lord said. You tell them, I am that I am. I am. That's not a tree. It's not a stick. That's not a crocodile. That's not a monkey. That's not a pope. That's not a preacher. That's not you and that's not me. That's not a church. That's not a denomination. That's a person. Later on, he would say things like this. I will. I'll paraphrase, but I will accomplish my purpose. I will choose Israel. I will bring salvation. I will provide salvation. I will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's not said by an inanimate object. It's not a rock or a stone or again, an individual like you and me, but a real, genuine person, the person of Almighty God. He has emotion. He has intellect. He has will. God understands. He has a mind. He has emotion, he cares, and he has a will that he wants accomplished in your life and mine. Now, number one, if you're lost, God's will is not to worry about whether you go to Africa as a missionary or to China as a Bible teacher, but God's will is for you to get saved. You're going to go to hell rejecting God, ignoring Jesus Christ, and you want to have it your way. You go and listen to me, you may get your way, but you'll get what you want, and you'll lose what you really need, and that is Jesus as your Lord and Savior. God's will for you if you're not saved, if you get saved. If you are saved, God's will is for you to live a holy life and that you walk and talk with this person I'm trying to tell you about today. And that person gave his life for you when Jesus died on the cross. God loves you and cares about you. He's a unity. He's a Trinity. He's a spirit. He's a person. I'll close with this. I read the story years ago. It was told by a medical, I think it was a medical doctor. He was in Vietnam. He had served there, and there was a young girl that had been wounded in a mortar attack. They had shot the mortar off, and it went awry. Somehow this little innocent Vietnamese girl was just 9 or 10 years old. And she got injured and was nigh to death. And the doctors determined the only way to save her life was a blood transfusion. They went in and found that none of her immediate family around was evidently, as far as they could tell, the right kind of blood type. And then they did find a few people who were in amongst her friends of her same age. They went and they asked them, is there anybody here that would be willing to give their blood so that she might live? And one young boy, trembling, raised his hand and stepped forward. They asked him, well, what's your name? Well, his name was Hing, H-E-N-G. And they said, Hing, were you willing to do this? Yes, he said, and tears were streaming down his face. They went through the procedure, and after the procedure was over with and the little girl had survived, they went into him, and they began talking to him through the translator, and Hing was again crying again. And they said, what is wrong with him? And that through the translator, they found this to be true. What Hing thought was this, that when I give my blood for my friend here, they have to take all of my blood so that she could live. He was volunteering that day not to give a little bit of blood. He was volunteering to give all his blood and his life that she might be saved, this little girl. And now he was surprised that he was going to live too. And in a little simple way, think about it this way. Somebody died on a cross who knew he was going to die. And that was Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, who laid his life down willingly and gave all his blood, not just for you, but for a whole world of lost people. But I believe he gave it for you as if you was the only one around to give it to. He loved you that much. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for the precious word of God today. And Lord, I pray that if there's one in our number this morning that's lost, oh God, bring conviction to their conscience. Show them their great need of Jesus. And Lord, may they come to him in simple repentance and faith, calling on you for salvation. Thank you for how our hearts have been blessed through the singing and the lives that have been changed in these young ladies. And Lord, I pray that you'd just do it again. Save somebody today. Reclaim a backslider. Draw your people into a deeper walk with you. And Father, we promise to give you honor and glory and praise for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our song leader is going to sing. This altar is open. If you need to come and pray, you come. If you're here and you're lost and you want to be saved, please come. And let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved.